Cox Internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. It's the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data Q3 2022 in Cox serviceable areas. Learn more at cox.com/internet.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love, too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of At the Rim. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NBA, the National Basketball Association. On this edition of the program, we have him back on, Nick Agar-Johnson. Nick is a host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and he's the editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. And he's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we recap the 2023 NBA All-Star Weekend, and plus we have your latest league leaders and standings on the program. So it's going to be a great one. As always, we have Nick on our interview segment, so it's going to be great on this edition of the program. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I like to start off with the NBA All-Star Weekend, starting off with NBA All-Star Saturday. The Rising Stars Challenge was exciting. You had Team Powell, which was coached by Pau Gasol, going up against Team Deron, which was coached by Deron Williams. Team Joakim, which was Joakim Noah, was the head coach, going up against Team Jason, who was coached by Jason Terry. And this Rising Stars Challenge was exciting, but the highlight of this clearly was second-year guard from the New Orleans Pelicans, Jose Alvarado. Jose hit a game-winning shot to win the Rising Stars Challenge for Team Powell. And he was named the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge. So congratulations to Team Powell for winning the Rising Stars Challenge, and big ups to Jose Alvarado from the New Orleans Pelicans. And what's so unique about Jose is that he was the only undrafted player involved in the Rising Stars Challenge. Every player that played in this game had been drafted, but Jose Alvarado was the only undrafted in this year's Rising Stars Challenge. So, again, kudos to Jose for winning the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge, and certainly congratulations to Team Powell, coached by Pau Gasol. The next event that we had was the Skills Challenge, and, of course, Team Jazz, led by the trio of Jordan Clarkson, Walker Kessler, and Colin Sexton from the Utah Jazz, would win the Skills Challenge. Also competing in this competition was Team Rooks, which was the rookies led by Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic, Jaden Ivey of the Detroit Pistons, and Jabari Smith Jr. of the Houston Rockets. And then you had Team Antetokounmpo, which was the Antetokounmpo, two of the three Antetokounmpo brothers. Of course, Giannis was not involved in the Skills Challenge due to a wrist injury, so his brothers Alex and Thanasis represented him, and then Drew Holiday was Giannis's replacement in the Skills Challenge. Team Jazz did a solid job of Team Rooks. Not a great performance from them. I mean, I'll get more into detail with it with Nick Agar-Johnson a little bit later on in the program, but Team Jazz handled their business in front of the home crowd in Salt Lake City, and the trio again of Jordan Clarkson, Skills Challenge. Congratulations to Team Jazz. We had the three-point contest, which has been, of course, one of the big highlights of the All-Star Saturday festivities. Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers, Buddy Hield, and Tyrese Haliburton, both of the Indiana Pacers, Lauri Markkanen of the Utah Jazz, Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics, Tyler Hero of the Miami Heat, Julius Randle of the New York Knicks, and you had Kevin Huerter of the Sacramento Kings. And this was a very, very good three-point contest. And in the final, we had Damian Lillard, Buddy Hield, and Tyrese Haliburton. But in the end, it would be Dame Dalla Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers that would win the three-point contest. And it was a funny thing that he said at the end of the right at the interview, he said that he's retiring from the three-point contest. So we shall see what happens. You know, we have a year from now with the next All-Star game being in Indianapolis. But congratulations to Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers winning the three-point contest. And finally, All-Star Saturday ended with the slam dunk. ended the slam dunk contest. And we had Mac McClung from the Philadelphia 76ers, Trey Murphy of the New Orleans Pelicans, Jericho Sims of the New York Knicks, and Kenyon Martin Jr. of the Houston Rockets. And I tell you one thing, the slam dunk contest has been a dud, for lack of a better term, for a while. With the exception, really the last great slam dunk contest we had was Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine in 2016. But, if this was the contest, if this year's contest brought the slam dunk contest back, I think this was the one. Mac McClung was outstanding. I mean, he did dunks that we had not seen in quite some time. I mean, we saw a 540. We saw him hopping over two guys doing a dunk. It was just so amazing. And if this contest, I think this was the contest that could the slam dunk contest back on the map. Now, mind you, Mac McClung had been playing in the G League, was just recently signed by the 76ers. He had only been on the roster for maybe no more than a few days. But Mac McClung shined bright. He was really, in my opinion, the highlight of this year's NBA All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City. Trey Murphy, he had his dunks. Trey did well in the final round. But, man, Mac McClung was just, he was outstanding times 10. And if anybody shined bright during this year's All-Star Weekend, it was clearly Mac McClung of the Philadelphia 76ers. So big ups to Mac McClung for winning this year's slam dunk contest. Maybe this could get more entries into the slam dunk contest. I'll get into this a little bit later on in the interview segment with Nick Agar-Johnson. But again, kudos to Mac McClung for putting on one heck of a show in Salt Lake City at the slam dunk contest. And then go now to my next storyline, which is going to be the NBA All-Star game. So we've heard there's been some criticisms about the NBA All-Star game where there's really so. I mean, it's an exhibition game. It's the best of the best. It's the cream of the crop. It's the creme de la creme. I wouldn't expect these guys for all four quarters to really give it their all. I don't expect that. I mean, they have respective teams that they play for. A lot of these guys are in playoff contention, trying to get a playoff spot, trying to get a spot in the play-in tournament. So, I mean, I understand that criticism, but I still thought the game was very good. I thought it was very entertaining, and I think I got my money's worth. Everybody didn't get their money's worth, but to each his own. But we had Team LeBron, of course, which was led by the captain LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers, and his starters were Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets, Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia 76ers, and then we had the Dallas Mavericks backcourt of Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. And then the reserves were Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics, Paul George of the Los Angeles Clippers, Tyrese Haliburton of the Indiana Pacers, Julius Randle of the New York Knicks, De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings, and Jaren Jackson Jr. of the Memphis Grizzlies. Team LeBron was Michael Malone of the Denver Nuggets. Meanwhile, for Team Giannis, of course, the captain of Team Giannis from the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis did not play because of a wrist injury. He only played, well, actually, he did play. He played maybe 2 minutes, and that was it. So, and then the rest of the starters were Lauri Markkanen from the Utah Jazz. And then the guards were Donovan Mitchell of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies, and Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. And then the reserves were Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, Drew Holiday from the Milwaukee Bucks, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oklahoma City Thunder, DeMar DeRozan of the Chicago Bulls, Pascal Siakam of the Toronto Raptors, Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat, and Domantas Sabonis of the red-hot Sacramento Kings. And the head coach of Team Giannis was Joe Mazzulla from the Boston Celtics. So, again, this was, it's an NBA All-Star game, high scoring, a lot of offense. You really don't see a lot of defense really being turned up until maybe middle of the fourth quarter. I mean, that's going to be expected in this one, really in a lot of the All-Star games. But Jason Tatum was red hot. This was his moment. He set an All-Star game scoring record with 55 points. The previous record was held by Anthony Davis when he scored 52 points at the All-Star game in New Orleans in 2017. But big ups to one of my favorite players in the league from the Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum. He scored an All-Star record 55 points, and he became the Kobe Bryant All-Star Game MVP for this year's All-Star Game in Salt Lake City. So kudos to the All-Star Saturday, really good. Kudos to a solid NBA All-Star Game. And I think people gave Salt Lake City a lot of flack because of I get more into detail a little bit later in the interview with Nick Agar-Johnson. There were some media pundits that said that there wasn't much to do in Salt Lake City. But, you know, again, you got to give every NBA city a chance to shine bright. And Salt Lake City, for what it's worth, you know, they did the best that they could. They did a solid job. I wasn't there at the game, but the scenery looks very beautiful in Salt Lake City. Haven't been there yet, but, you know, kudos to Salt Lake City for hosting this year's NBA All-Star Game. And next year we'll see what Indianapolis has to offer. And finally, for my last storyline, February 24th, 2023, the Sacramento Kings squared off against the Los Angeles Clippers at the Crypto.com Arena in downtown Los Angeles. It was just going to be just another NBA regular season game. Well, guess what? It was far from that, because it wound up going into double overtime, and it wound up becoming the second highest scoring game in NBA history. The final score in double overtime, Sacramento 176, LA Clippers 175. Here's just some scores, final stats to pass along to you. De'Aaron Fox, double-double, 42 points, 12 assists, sensational, 45 points. Domantas Sabonis, double-double, 20 points, 10 rebounds. Keegan Murray, what a solid rookie year he's had this year for the Sacramento Kings. Definitely strong consideration for rookie of the year. He scored 15 points. In the losing effort for the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, 44 points. Paul George, double-double, 34 points, 10 rebounds. Norman Powell, 24 points. Nicholas Batum, 19 points. Mason Plumlee had a double-double with 10 points and 10 rebounds. And in his Clippers debut, Russell Westbrook, you know, Russell, super athletic, always plays caution to the wind, double-double, 17 points, 14 assists. If for those of you that live on the West Coast, you had an opportunity to watch the game from start to finish. For those that lived on the East Coast, some may have tuned in, some probably had to catch the highlights to watch this thrilling game. I had the chance to watch the ending of this game. Well, really, from the fourth quarter going into both of the overtimes, and man, it was phenomenal. This was phenomenal. And, you know, this is going to set the stage for the second half of the NBA season. We know defenses get tighter, the offenses get better, the coaching is going to get tight, and players definitely tighten their play up once we hit the second half of the year. I believe we currently have close to 30 games in the second half of the year. So from now up until mid-April, everybody's going to be running and gunning. The play is going to change. It's going to get different because now you've got six playoff spots and then seeds 7 through 10 qualify you for the play-in tournament. So I tell you one thing, the LA Clippers, they're expected to do big things the remainder of the year now that they've acquired Russell Westbrook. But give it up to the Sacramento Kings, man. They've really been the surprise of the NBA season this year. A lot of great talent on that roster with De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Domantas Sabonis, Harrison Barnes. The Kings, they've really come out of nowhere this year. Of course, Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray has been phenomenal this year. Kevin Huerter brings a lot of that long-distance shooting. So, again, if you missed out on that game, it's definitely an instant classic. I'm sure a lot of the social media platforms have been talking about it, posting highlights and things of that nature. So the Sacramento Kings, again, beat the Los Angeles Clippers in a thrilling game in double overtime, 176-175, and it became the second highest scoring game in NBA history. All right, before we go to break, some injury news to pass along to you. I mentioned earlier about Giannis Antetokounmpo not only playing 2 minutes in the NBA All-Star game that just passed in Salt Lake City. Well, he suffered another injury. This time he suffered a knee injury this past week, and his current status day. So again, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who suffered a wrist injury right before the All-Star break, didn't play in the All-Star game. Well, he played in the All-Star game, excuse me. He only played 2 minutes, and then he was done for the night. But he suffered another injury, this time to his knee in the first quarter. He did not return, and this was in the game against the Miami Heat. So right now Giannis is listed as day-to-day, and hopefully that he won't be out too long, because Milwaukee is going to need him for the remainder of the year as we are full speed ahead in the second half of the year. So again, Giannis Antetokounmpo is listed as day-to-day with the knee injury. He suffered that injury this past week against the Miami Heat and he had another bummer as well. As I mentioned earlier, he had the wrist injury and only played 2 minutes in the All-Star game, but hopefully he won't be out too long. And hopefully Milwaukee will have him ready to go, because it's going to get hot and heavy as we make that run towards the NBA playoffs. All right, when we come back from the break, I'll give you the current league leaders and standings in the association. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
.145/92 .180/111
.182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
We know y'all can cook real good, but sometimes the crew just wants Popeyes for dinner. And who can blame them? With our 10-piece box, everyone gets lots of our juicy, crunchy, and tasty mixed signature chicken for a price you'll love too. So treat yourself and the crew to a chicken feast everyone can enjoy tonight. And get our 10-piece box at your nearest Popeyes today. Trust me, you're all gonna love it. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Now it's time for the current league leaders in the association. Let's start off with points per game. The current leading scorer in the NBA, he represents the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic. He's averaging 33.2 points per game. Coming in at number two from the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid. At number three, Dame Dalla, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers. At number four, Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. And at number five, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Next category, rebounds per game. At number one, Domantas Sabonis from the Sacramento Kings. He's averaging 12 rebounds per game. At number two, Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. At number three, actually, we have a tie for third place. Representing the red-hot Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Representing the Minnesota Timberwolves, I should say, Rudy Gobert. And coming in fifth from the Memphis Grizzlies, Steven Adams. Category is assists per game. At number one, representing the Philadelphia 76ers, James Harden. He's averaging close to 11 assists per game. Tied for second, Trae Young from the Atlanta Hawks and Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets. Coming in fourth place, Tyrese Haliburton from the Indiana Pacers. And at fifth, the always electrifying from the Memphis Grizzlies, Ja Morant. Next category, steals per game. Coming in at number one, representing the Toronto Raptors, OG Anunoby. At number two, from the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler. At number three, from the Indiana Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton. At number four, from the Philadelphia 76ers, De'Anthony Melton. And at number five, Gary Trent Jr. from the Toronto Raptors. Category, blocks per game. Coming in at number one from the Memphis Grizzlies, the always powerful, always dynamic Jaren Jackson Jr. He's averaging 3 blocks per game. Coming in at number two from the Brooklyn Nets, Nick Claxton. At number three from the Milwaukee Bucks, Brooke Lopez. At number four, Miles Turner from the Indiana Pacers. And at number five is Walker Kessler from the Utah Jazz. Next category, field goal percentage. Coming in at number one, Nick Claxton from the Brooklyn Nets. He's shooting 71% from the field. At number two, Rudy Gobert from the Minnesota Timberwolves. At number three, from the Los Angeles Clippers, Mason Plumlee. At number four, Brandon Clark from the Memphis Grizzlies. And at number five, Jared Allen from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Next category that we have is three-point field goals made. Coming in at number one, Buddy Hield from the Indiana Pacers. At number two, Thompson from the Golden State Warriors. At number three, Anfernee Simons from the Portland Trailblazers. At number four, his teammate from the Portland Trailblazers, Damian Lillard. And at number five, Jason Tatum from the Boston Celtics. Next category, three-point percentage. Coming in at number one from the Boston Celtics, Malcolm Brogdon. He's shooting 46% from three-point range. At number two, representing the red-hot Denver Nuggets, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a.k.a. KCP. At number three, from the Oklahoma City Thunder, Isaiah Joe. At number four, from the Memphis Grizzlies, Luke Kennard. And at number five, from the Phoenix Suns, Damian Lee. Next category, free throw percentage. Coming in at number one, representing the Phoenix Suns, Kevin Durant. He's shooting 93% from the free throw line. At number two, one of the Splash Brothers, Steph Curry, representing the Warriors. At number three, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers. At number four, from the Miami Heat, Tyler Hero. And at number five, from the Portland Trailblazers, Anfernee Simons. And the last category that we have is minutes played. At number one, representing the Toronto Raptors, Spicy P, Pascal Siakam. He's averaging close to 38 minutes per game. Coming in at number two from the Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum. Tied for third, Kyrie Irving from the Dallas Mavericks and Fred VanVleet from the Toronto Raptors. And at number five, DeJounte Murray from the Atlanta Hawks. And those are your current league leaders in the association. All right, now time for the current standings in the NBA. Let's start off in the Eastern Conference. Currently in first place, the Boston Celtics. They have a record of 43-17. Coming in at number two, the Milwaukee Bucks. They have a record of 42-17. Coming in at number three, the Philadelphia 76ers. They have a record of 39-19. Coming in at number four, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have a record of 38-25. Coming in at number five, the Brooklyn Nets. They have a record of 34-25. And at number six, the New York Knicks. They have a record of 34-27. So if the playoffs were to start today, Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Brooklyn, and New York would all be in. Now, currently in seventh place, the Miami Heat, they have a record of 32-28. The Atlanta Hawks come in eighth place with a record of 30-30. Coming in ninth are the Toronto Raptors. They have a record of 29-31. And in 10th place, the Washington Wizards, 31. So if the play-in tournament started today, Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, and Washington would all be eligible to play in the play-in tournament. And now for the rest of the standings in the Eastern Conference. In 11th place, the Chicago Bulls. Coming in 12th place are the Indiana Pacers. In 13th place are the Orlando Magic. In 14th place are the Charlotte Hornets. And in last place in the East are the Detroit Pistons. Let's move over now to the Western Conference. Currently in first place, the Red Hot Denver Nuggets. They have a record of 42-18. Coming in at number two are the Memphis Grizzlies with a record of 35-23. Coming in third place are the Sacramento Kings. They have a record of 34-25. Currently in fourth place are the Phoenix Suns. They have a record of 33-28. Coming in fifth are the Los Angeles Clippers. They have a record of 33-29. And in sixth place are the Dallas Mavericks. They have a record of 32-29. So if the playoffs started today, Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix, LA Clippers, and Dallas would all be in the playoffs. Now let's continue. Currently in seventh place are the New Orleans Pelicans. They have a record of 30-30. In eighth place are the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have a record of 31-31. Coming in ninth place are the defending champion Golden State Warriors. They have a record of 30-30. And in 10th place are the Utah Jazz. They have a record of 30-31. So if the play-in tournament started today, New Orleans, Minnesota, Golden State, and Utah would all be eligible to play in the play-in tournament. Now here are the rest of the standings in the Western Conference. Currently in 11th place are the Oklahoma City Thunder. In 12th, Portland Trail Blazers. In 13th place are the Los Angeles Lakers. Coming in 14th are the San Antonio Spurs. And in last place, in 15th, are the Houston Rockets. So those are your current standings in the association. So again, in the Eastern Conference, Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Brooklyn, and New York would all be eligible for the playoffs if the playoffs started today. Meanwhile, Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, and Washington would all be eligible to play in the play-in tournament. And on the Western Conference side, Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix, LA Clippers, and Dallas would all be eligible to play in the playoffs. Meanwhile, New Orleans, Minnesota, Golden State, and Utah would all be eligible to be in the play-in tournament. Break, I have an interview with Nick Agar-Johnson. Nick is a host of the NBA, of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and he's also editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. We recap the 2023 NBA All-Star Weekend. We also look ahead to next year's NBA All-Star Game in Indianapolis and so much more. Nick is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
It's the Marketers Report. This week, Patrizia Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy. And we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio was a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Benedict Mathurin, who's been
grand theft. Entire tournament. Grand Theft Alvarado is the game winner.
Goodness.
Wow. What a finish. One more look. Mathurin back to Alvarado.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time now to announce the MVP of the Jordan Rising Stars game. None other than Jose Alvarado.
I mean, it was, you know, the confidence that these boys behind me gave me, you know, they were rolling with me the whole game, you know, just come out here and play and enjoy this atmosphere, you know. We had an all-star weekend and we enjoying it, so I can't complain. And, you know, D-Mitch owed me a dinner. He told me if I make that last shot, he owed me a dinner. So that's what I really wanted right there, a dinner.
Indeed, he did get the dinner during this past all-star weekend. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, and Turner Sports TNT, and that was New Orleans Pelicans guard Jose Alvarado hitting the game-winning shot and giving comments as he was able to, when he won the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge at the 2023 NBA All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City, Utah. Of course, Jose was just some of the many highlights that had taken place at this All-Star Weekend that wrapped up in Salt Lake City, Utah for the year of 2023. To talk more about the NBA All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City, we got to welcome him back to the program, a man who has never lost for words. He is the editor-in-chief and writer for NBA Deep Dives, and he's also, for No Ceilings NBA, and he's also a host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and he's a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Let's welcome him back, Nick Agar-Johnson. Hey, Nick, welcome back, my man.
Ed, thanks so much for having me back. Always good to talk with you. And, yeah, it was a really interesting All-Star weekend. Certainly Jose Alvarado was one of the stars of the show, but there were a lot of stars shining in Utah on All-Star weekend. So happy to come back on the program and talk about it with you.
As always, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And you're absolutely right about Jose and the many stars that we'll discuss during this NBA All-Star weekend that's in Salt Lake City. Let's start off with the Rising Stars Challenge. So Jose Alvarado is the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge as Team Powell would win the Rising Stars Challenge. Aside from Jose, if you want to add any more information about Jose, what were some of the things that caught your eye about him during the Rising Stars Challenge?
Yeah, so, I mean, Jose was huge for Team Powell in that first game. You know, he put up 13 points in that one, which, you know, helped lead them to that championship game. And then, you know, he had definitely the biggest moment of the Rising Stars Challenge when he hit the game-deciding three-pointer in the finals to win it for Team Powell. So, you know, he was someone who, you know, definitely is always going to put in the effort on the defensive end. But, you know, he put up a lot of points in this one, and that really helped carry Team Powell to that championship title. So it was a great night for Jose Alvarado, and he was impressive in both of the games that he played in the Rising Stars Challenge.
Rightfully so. And are there any more players or anything that caught your eye that you want to mention that happened during the Rising Stars Challenge?
I mean, I am calling in from Sacramento, California, so I do, of course, have to mention that Keegan Murray hit a game winner for Team Powell in that first game of the Rising Stars Challenge. So, you know, it was a good night for Keegan. You know, the rest of the Sacramento Kings showing up at All-Star Weekend didn't quite do as well as he did, but, you know, he didn't have the highest scoring game, but he did hit the game winner in that first one. And then the other player to point out, Quentin Grimes really helped keep his team in it for that, you know, championship semifinal and the championship final game. He was someone who, you know, if his team had ended up pulling out the win, that he probably would have been the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge, but instead it was Jose Alvarado's night, and he ended up winning it for his squad.
Rightfully so. So Team Powell, which was, of course, a member of that team, Andrew Nembhard from the Indiana Pacers, Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic, Scotty Barnes from the Toronto Raptors, Jaden Ivey from the Detroit Pistons, Benedict Mathurin from the Indiana Pacers. You mentioned his name earlier, Nick, Keegan Murray from the Sacramento Kings, and, of course, the MVP of the Rising Stars Challenge, Jose Alvarado from the New Orleans Pelicans, as Team Powell was the winner of the Rising Stars Challenge. Also big during the All-Star weekend in Salt Lake City was the Skills Challenge, and we had the trio of the Utah Jazz. Let's have a listen.
He's having a career year with the Jazz, and here he goes trying to finish up. And that's it to go. And now here comes Walker Kessler.
There you go, Walker. Oh, see, he's going to pick it up.
He's getting closer to one here.
That little teardrop's giving people a fit.
Hey, big fella.
Shot
was good.
They toast. No chance.
Yeah.
They
no.
No chance.
Oh, there we go.
The show is over.
He's going to have to move.
But what is this?
Yeah, but this
come on, Tyler.
Oh, look, there's a...
If he knocks the first one, he can go.
If he makes
nope,
the first
it's
one.
Over.
Yep. He had to make that first one to give him a chance.
He took off with one bar left.
He did. Halfway through.
This would be right up Team Jazz Alley right here.
And they don't have to move as much.
So JC can be...
Yeah, there you go.
Got to be a bounce back calling in the middle.
Yeah, Sexton is nailing all of his.
There's got to be a bounce back calling in the middle.
JC ain't made a bounce back here yet.
Jordan Clarkson, Walker Kessler, and Colin Sexton.
There it is.
That was a double, too.
Here they come.
Oh, 88. Oh, they took the lead.
Yes. This is nice. And they'll finish with 88.
They didn't get
inside the buzzer, but 88 is a good score.
Okay.
Got to get more than 8 points.
They'll get more than 8. They still hit this. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
Actually, JC is killing them right now.
There we go. Colin was 7 by himself.
That's 7. This is it. Yeah, they got this.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they got this, though.
We'll see the winner here. The
bar was set 8. So low.
Clarkson.
JC gets a participation.
Sexton.
If the Team Jazz ends up winning this,
Jordan needs to get his cut of this.
That's one.
And give it to Colin and Walker.
Yeah, JC, you got to pass by that.
Well, I think I called this, people.
Yep.
I called this.
You did call this.
Well, they got 13.
13.
It feels good, especially to do it in front of the home team. And we got a little advantage from the crowd. We appreciate y'all.
For sure. Man, we got a lot of nerves going on, but, you know, we knew we had to do it for our Jazz crowd here. So, at the end, we got the win. Go Jazz.
Blessings. Do it for Utah, man. Appreciate everybody showing love. Y'all already know. Let's keep putting on for the city and represent. Love.
All right, that audio is courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, Turner Sports, and TNT. And you heard that audio right there. That was the trio of the Utah Jazz, Team Jazz, winning the Skills Challenge. Clarkson, Walker Kessler, and Colin Sexton. All right, Nick, let's get back to you. Give me your thoughts on Team Jazz winning the Skills Challenge.
So my other All-Star Weekend predictions that I made on the program on Friday were not exactly accurate, but I did get this one right, so I was happy about that one. Yeah, it was interesting because it looked like the Jazz weren't really going for it in the team relay to start the Skills Challenge. Jordan Clarkson started for the Jazz, and he basically was walking through a lot of the courts, so it didn't seem like in that first challenge they were really going to gun for it. But, you know, they ended up having a really strong close to the passing section of the skills challenge, and then they won it in the team shooting section with Walker Kessler, of all people, hitting the corner three-pointer. So, you know, it ended up working out really well for the Jazz. I was surprised that they ended up carrying it after they sort of started really slowly in that team relay, but, I mean, their shooting and their passing carried the day for them in the skills challenge.
All right, I want to stay with the skills challenge for a moment. Nick, I'm pretty sure you share the same sentiment. I was really disappointed with Team Rooks. I really thought it would have been a better effort. That was the team of Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic, Jaden Ivey from the Detroit Pistons, and Jabari Smith Jr. from the Houston Rockets. What were your thoughts on Team Rooks?
Kind of the opposite of my thoughts on Team Jazz, honestly, because in that team relay, Team Rooks actually won that relay. They were the ones who, you know, went through the course the fastest. So, you know, I thought they were really going to be going for it after that first round, and yet they ended up being last in the passing challenge, and then they just could not buy a basket in the shooting portion of the challenge. And, you know, it's certainly a concerning moment for Paolo Banchero, given that he's been shooting 4% from three-point range during the month of February, that he was still ice cold in the, you know, in the shooting challenge, as well as Jabari Smith Jr., who has, you know, struggled with his shot all season. So, you know, it's an incredibly small sample size in the shooting of the shooting portion of the skills challenge. And, you know, I don't want to knock those guys really or, you know, project out beyond that, but I'm with you. It was a really disappointing showing for them. And it was particularly disappointing when they, you know, cleared the relay portion of the skills challenge pretty clearly.
Okay. And then I know you mentioned earlier that you were rooting for the Antetokounmpos in the skills challenge, knowing that you have brothers. Now, Giannis was not involved in the skills challenge due to an injury, so his replacement was Drew Holiday. So any words you may have about the performance of Team Antetokounmpo?
Well, if anyone was going to replace Giannis, it makes a ton of sense for someone else with two brothers in the NBA in Drew Holiday to be the third player on Team Antetokounmpo. Obviously, of course, he was there for All-Star Weekend anyway and was, you know, scheduled to play in the game on Sunday night. I mean, it was, you know, it was solid showing for them. I mean, they were second in the passing challenge. They were second in the shooting challenge. They were, I think, ended up being second in the team relay as well. So, you know, they did all right. They had a decent-ish performance. But, you know, again, they also went kind of cold as a team during the shooting challenge, which, you know, was a huge part of why the Team Jazz ended up taking the skills challenge. But it was a solid showing for them. I mean, you know, nothing particularly special. They didn't win any of the events, but they also definitely, you know, had solid performances in all three events, which was certainly not true for either Team Jazz in the first event or Team Rooks in the shooting challenge.
All right, and that takes care of the skills challenge as the trio of Team Jazz, led by Jordan Clarkson, Walker Kessler, and Colin Sexton of the Utah Jazz, that trio would win the skills challenge. All right. One of my favorite things about the NBA All-Star Weekend is the three-point contest. We had a really good one as Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers would go on to win the three-point contest. Here's Damian on his last run.
They did. That's his name, by the way.
Yes, that's his name.
Into the All-Star break, Dame Lillard, the fourth leading scorer in the NBA. And here he goes, firing away. Part of that 75th anniversary team named last year in NBA history.
And again, it's not necessarily how you start, but you want to start to find a rhythm. And here we think this is too close for Dame's
spot.
Oh,
yeah,
he got it.
One of those.
He got it.
Yeah, I feel like he's about to go right past 25.
And here comes his money rack.
Yep. Right this side of the court.
Shot.
He's got it.
Yeah. So that's 6 points alone from the starting range. This is his money rack. He's got to make up right here. Here he goes.
25 okay. Is the one to beat.
Ooh.
All right.
21.
Some pressure here now.
Here we go.
Pressure here.
Here we go. 23.
Need the money ball.
He needs
the money ball.
And
oh,
he got it.
Oh,
out a former champ in Buddy Hill.
Your chances just dropped to 50%.
It surely did. It surely did.
Longer 67.
Look at him. He made his last four shots. You got that one to go, then the story range ball.
So 6 points alone, yes, on those two shots.
Yep.
Huge. Think about that.
Huge.
I mean, it makes it that much more special. You know, I did it two times before. They say the third time's a charm, and I'm happy that it happened here. So it's a perfect situation. I'm happy I could do it in my home coming back here to Utah. I think all the best shooters in the history of our game, most of them have one of these. And to, like I said, to be in this competition a few times and not have one, I just wanted to get it done at least one time. So I'm happy I got it. Now I can retire from it.
All right, that audio courtesy again of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, Turner Sports, and TNT. So Portland Trailblazers guard, currently one of the best in the NBA, Dame Dalla, Damian Lillard, winning the three-point contest at the NBA All-Star Weekend in Salt Lake City. All right, Nick, give me your thoughts on Damian winning the three-point contest.
I'm so happy that he ended up winning this three-point contest. You know, it was clear from the interview that he gave afterwards that you just played the clip of that it really meant a lot to him to, you know, sort of solidify himself as one of the greatest three-point shooters we've seen in the history of the NBA. You know, it clearly meant a lot to him to have one of these three-point contest championships in his trophy case. So I'm very happy that he managed to carry the day with a really strong final round. And, you know, he said he's retiring from the contest, which, you know, on the one hand is too bad because it's always fun to have Damian Lillard in the contest. But, you know, again, really happy for him, you know, one of the greatest shooters that the game has ever seen. And clearly it meant a lot to him to solidify his resume with this three-point shooting contest championship.
I want to stay just with this contest for a moment. You mentioned his name the last time we spoke. Tyrese Haliburton, former member of the Sacramento Kings, now currently playing for the Indiana Pacers. He was in the final with Damian. Also, we had in the final as well his teammate Buddy Hield. And we also had some other contestants in the three-point contest. Lauri Markkanen, Tatum, Tyler Hero, Julius Randle, and, of course, Sacramento King himself, Kevin Huerter. Any thoughts you have on the other contestants in the three-point contest?
So, yeah, starting with Tyrese, I was a bit worried that his release might make it so that the three-point contest wouldn't be the sort of contest for him, and I was completely wrong about that. He blew the competition out of the water in the first round. He put up 31 points in that first round. That was the highest score that anyone put up in any round all night. So really impressive performance for him. Unfortunately, he didn't do quite as well in the finals. And then Buddy Hield, also a former Sacramento King, also a former New Orleans Pelican, you know, he was my pick to win it just because he'd won it before in 2020 with the Sacramento Kings. And, you know, he ended up finishing second, so pretty solid showing for him, but didn't end up taking it, of course, as Damian Lillard ended up taking the trophy home. And then, you know, it was unfortunate for Kevin Huerter that he really struggled in the three-point contest. Certainly did not have his best night, but, you know, hopefully he will be able to get another chance at it because he is one of the premier shooters in the league. And, you know, it would be really nice to have him get another shot at this after a somewhat disappointing performance for him. But, I mean, overall, it was an incredibly fun contest. You know, there were some awesome scores in the first round. And then, of course, we got the finals with, you know, Damian Lillard just eclipsing Buddy Hield to take that title home. It was a really fun three-point contest. The three-point contest is always fun. It's been, you know, one of the highlights of All-Star Weekend for a decade plus running now. And, you know, it was unfortunate for Kevin Huerter. You know, Jason Tatum, who I'm sure we will talk about in just a little bit, you know, was the guy who ended up just barely missing the finals. But overall, it was a great run of performances. And again, just really happy that Damian Lillard ended up taking this one home.
Rightfully so. I want to stay with the three-point contest again. I don't know if you caught this quote, but Draymond Green was one of the commentators for the NBA All-Star Saturday festivities. And he said during the three-point contest, he said that Julius Randle from the New York Knicks had no business being in the three-point contest. Do you agree with that, or do you think Julius had every right to be in this year's three-point contest?
First of all, I completely disagree. He had every right to be in the three-point contest. However, I do think that there were other players who might have made more sense for the three-point contest. I mean, you know, I'm obviously biased here, but Keegan Murray is shooting 41% from three-point range, and he's already broken the Kings rookie record for three-pointers in February. You know, I think he would have made a ton of sense as an addition. And, you know, there were other players who were, you know, in the All-Star game itself who weren't part of the three-point contest who I think might have made a bit more sense there. But honestly, Draymond Green, of all people, who lost an All-Star game three-point shooting contest to Kevin Hart, shouldn't be telling anybody else that they shouldn't be participating in the three-point contest. So, you know, I think that there might have been better selections than Julius Randle, but, you know, this is his second All-Star game. He's, you know, really solidified himself as a solid three-point shooting big man. I think he had every right to be in the contest, even though there are other players that I would have picked ahead of him.
All right, fair enough. And that takes care of this year's three-point contest. Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers is the winner. Well, Nick, me and you share the same sentiment about, for the last decade and a half, the three-point contest really being the highlight of the All-Star Saturday festivities or the highlight of the All-Star weekend. But it appeared that the slam dunk contest may be coming back. And we had a gentleman from the Philadelphia 76ers by the name of Mac McClung that dazzled us in the slam dunk contest. And he hadn't done, and we haven't seen anything like that in the slam dunk contest in quite a while. Here's Mac in action.
I'm worried about the guy holding the other guy. Some boy, he's going to go down. Oh, that's a 50. I got to see if he hit the backboard.
That's a 50.
That's a 50.
Jimmy.
I got to see if he hit it.
That's a 50.
I got to see if you referee the name on the back.
But this is what you guys need to know. Look at the NBA ballers, the all-stars, how they are reacting to it. They know.
And a reverse. Young fella.
And a reverse.
I have one thing to say. Welcome to the NBA. Welcome to the NBA.
Did you see Jonathan Majors?
Oh, my God.
His excitement?
This is a major
movie star reacting like that.
So here he goes. And he's putting on the handle.
Going to shake him a good job, man.
Oh my goodness.
It's over.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have witnessed a star being born tonight.
Let's stop it.
A star has been born tonight.
A star?
A star.
Like an NBA star?
An NBA star has been born tonight. His name will be rung throughout the country for 48 hours. Yes, indeed. Go, young fella, go. You have won me over, Matt.
I'm gonna say this. Matt McClung has saved
it. Really just grateful. I had a lot of help. It wasn't, you know, just me. I had my best friends calling me every night trying to give me ideas. So it was a lot of fun out there.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA, the National Basketball Association, Turner Sports, and TNT. So Philadelphia 76ers guard Mac McClung wins this year's slam dunk contest. All right, Nick, the floor is yours. Reggie Miller said that this may have saved the slam dunk contest, and Kenny Smith said that the slam dunk contest is back. Give me your thoughts on Mac McClung and his amazing night in Salt Lake City.
So I said on the program on Friday that the one reason that I was looking out for Mac McClung is he's really a showman. I mean, I got a chance to see it in person at Las Vegas Summer League this past summer. You know, he's someone who really feeds off the crowd, who really, you know, tries to get into it, tries to show off. You know, he is a showman, and we saw him put on a show in the dunk contest on Saturday night. I mean, he threw down some of the most impressive dunks we've seen since Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine were going at it back in 2016. So, you know, I always enjoy the dunk contest. I think even in down years, I enjoy it more than significant portions of the internet, it would seem. But this year was an exceptionally fun contest, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in a minute. But I thought Trey Murphy had a really underrated performance in the dunk contest as well. And, you know, I think that Mac McClung's star turn hits a little bit less strongly if we don't have, you know, a strong challenge from Trey Murphy to, you know, get him into the finals to really force Mac McClung to sort of bring out his best dunks. But again, you know, Kenny Smith said it, a star was born. I mean, Mac McClung's following on all social media platforms has absolutely exploded since his slam dunk contest victory, and, you know, well-deserved. I mean, he really put on a show out there, and it'll be interesting to see if he comes back next year. He said, you know, in an interview after the dunk contest that he would love to come back next year if he's invited. I think it would make a ton of sense to have him back next year, you know, even if he is in the G League as he's been for much of this season. You know, he clearly spiced up the dunk contest and brought it back to a level that, you know, I don't think we've seen since Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine were running the show in the dunk contest a few years back.
Wow. I want to stay just with Max's performance in this year's slam dunk contest. You mentioned two gentlemen that had some great performances in a slam dunk contest, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. I want to ask you, Nick, where does McClung's performance rank with Zach and Aaron, as well as with Blake Griffin, which we saw at the All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles some years back with doing the dunk over the Kia? Or what about the All-Star Weekend in New Orleans with Dwight Howard doing the Superman dunk, or Nate Robinson and his performances in the slam dunk contest? Where does it rank, in your opinion, with Mac?
So I think that Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine put on the two best slam dunk contest performances we've ever seen. So I definitely slot Mac in behind those two. In terms of the rest of the names you brought up, I mean, I'm a sucker for Nate Robinson. So, you know, I definitely would, I'm not sure his third dunk contest win was, you know, as impressive as Mac, but definitely his first performance in the dunk contest, I would put Nate Robinson ahead of him. And then, honestly, other than those three, I think Mac would be right there as the fourth best dunk contest, you know, since the sort of early MJ Dominique days. I mean, he was not just dominant in the dunk contest, but also just electric. I mean, he clearly brought the crowd into it. He brought out some dunks that we hadn't seen before. I mean, his dunk over two dudes and tapping it off the backboard between throwing it in is one of the craziest feats of athleticism we've seen in the dunk contest in a while. And, you know, his 540 to close it out, wearing his high school jersey, doing the classic Vince Carter, it's over. You know, again, Max McClung is a born showman, and he showed all of those skills on the Saturday night slam dunk contest. So great to see him win. Definitely sort of revitalized the dunk contest in a lot of people's minds. And I'll be really excited to see what it looks like next year. You know, hopefully Max McClung's star turn in this slam dunk contest can encourage some of the other best dunkers in the league to give it a try. I would love to see Shaedon Sharpe, who dropped out of the dunk contest in next year's. I would love to see, you know, one of the actual all-stars on All-Star Night join the contest. I mean, Anthony Edwards would be a clear hit in the slam dunk contest if he's willing to try it. So, you know, again, I thought it was a kind of night that hopefully can, as you already brought up, you know, bring back the dunk contest a little bit, encourage some of the better dunkers in the league to give it a try, because, you know, Mac McClung's star exploded after his performance on Saturday night, and there are a lot of exceptional dunkers in the NBA who could do the exact same next year.
Rightfully so. We're going to get back to that in just a little bit, but you mentioned Trey Murphy, and Trey had some nice dunks in this slam dunk contest. Any thoughts on the other participants in the slam dunk contest? Trey Murphy from the New Orleans Pelicans, Jericho Sims from the New York Knicks, and Kenyon Martin Jr. from the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, so Kenyon Martin Jr. was heading in, and he did not have the most impressive performance. His second dunk was, I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't anything particularly special. It wasn't anything particularly inventive. So, you know, he did all right. I certainly was pretty disappointed in Jericho Sims. I mean, he basically tried to do the same dunk twice, except the second time he had an envelope with a 50 in it attached to the rim. Suffice it to say that he did not get a 50 for that particular dunk. But, I mean, especially given, you know, how high he got up on those dunks, for him to basically do the same dunk twice was pretty unfortunate. But Trey Murphy, I mean, I thought both of his first-round dunks were, you know, worthy high score dunks. I mean, his second dunk almost got him a 50, not quite, but I thought his first dunk, you know, when he sort of, you know, brought in Jose Alvarado to fake steal and then lob it, you know, I thought that was a lot of fun. I thought that was an underrated dunk, and, you know, I think that he very much deserved to be in the finals with Mac McClung. You know, he didn't quite capture the crowd in the way that Mac McClung did, but I thought Trey Murphy had an excellent night, and, you know, certainly heading into the contest, I would have expected Kenyon Martin Jr. to do better, but instead, Trey Murphy was the one who, you know, not quite kept pace with Mac McClung in terms of putting 50s up on the board, but, you know, definitely pushed him as a solid competitor, second place finisher in the slam dunk contest?
I want to stage this with the slam dunk contest. So we have our champion for this year, Mac McClung. You mentioned about Anthony Edwards maybe getting some of the all-stars into the dunk contest for next year. Anthony Edwards could be a potential injury. Ja Morant, he's been asked about it, but he says he's not. He's never going to enter the dunk contest. But Ja Morant is another one of those gentlemen that exemplifies great athleticism. Who would you like to see in enter next year's slam dunk contest besides Anthony Edwards?
So the biggest name that I've mentioned a couple times, mostly just because I'm disappointed that he dropped out of the contest last minute, Shaedon Sharpe, the rookie for the Portland Trail Blazers, he has some of the craziest hops I've seen of anybody ever, honestly. I mean, he's got absolutely ridiculous top-tier athleticism, and, you know, he's thrown down some of the craziest in-game dunks we've seen this season, and I think he's someone who, you know, was the seventh pick in the last draft. You know, he's on the rise in Portland for the Trailblazers, but, you know, he's not an all-star. He's not, you know, sort of a countrywide famous name in the way that I think he could be if he puts his name into the slam dunk contest for next year. And then, you know, in terms of all-stars, Anthony Edwards was, you know, the sort of top name that I mentioned. Ja Morant, as you mentioned, would be someone who would also make a ton of sense, even though based on his public comments, it seems like it's not particularly likely that he's ever going to actually go through with it and enter the dunk contest. And then in terms of other players, you know, sort of all-star level players in the dunk contest, I mean, the main guys that I would think of, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell or Paul George back in the day, you know, he's, you know, a little bit older now, so maybe not quite dunk contest athleticism anymore, but, you know, those were two guys who've been in the dunk contest before. So outside of those guys, I mean, it would be interesting to see what Jaylen Brown could do in a dunk contest. He's definitely got the requisite athleticism for it. But really, I think if we had a field next year of Anthony Edwards, Shaedon Sharpe, Mac McClung defending his title, and then, you know, maybe Ja Morant, maybe some other top-tier player, you know, maybe even one of the rookies entering the league next year. I mean, Scoot Henderson for the G League Ignite could definitely put on a show in a dunk contest. You know, I would love to see Mac McClung back to defend his title. I would love to see Shaedon Sharpe in the contest. And then hopefully we can get Anthony Edwards or at least one all-star in the actual dunk contest on Saturday night.
All right, and that takes care of this year's slam dunk winner, Mac McClung of the Philadelphia 76ers, wowing everybody from all walks of life for winning this year's NBA All-Star Slam Dunk Contest. All right, so, Nick, the moment of truth came. It was this year's NBA All-Star game in Salt Lake City, Utah. It was Team LeBron versus Team Giannis, and we mentioned his name earlier, from the Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum. What an amazing performance he had in this year's All-Star game. Here's Jason in action.
Tatum dunks it down, Jason Tatum. He's a guy to watch. He starts thinking about it.
He's off the glass.
Bam, Adebayo. Looking up front for Embiid. Mitchell is still. Defense. Mark that down, Candace. First defensive moment of the day. Tatum will do the same.
Was that a message? Was that a message, Reggie?
Anything you can do, the King, I can do better.
Oh, don't toy with him, Tatum. Don't toy with him.
That's what he's doing.
Don't toy with him, Tatum.
That's exactly what he's doing. It's the shoes.
31 for Tatum.
Debuting his signature shoes.
Finding Tatum. All eyes on him.
Jason Tatum is having some kind of all-star third quarter here.
Listen, he thought about it. He thought about it. I was like, nah.
Tatum, wow, a shooting clinic out here.
This will half court.
Tatum on a get from Mitchell, lays it in.
Seeing Ja's grill.
Whoa,
so,
diamond grill, show,
you know,
grill.
Reggie tried to get fitted for it.
I did, I tried.
Couldn't get ready in time.
Tatum a rare miss. And an offensive rebound sets up TV Honest once again. So they're pushing this lead to 12 here.
I think he might get 50. Oh, we got the matchup.
Oh, here's your matchup. Here's your matchup. The two Celtics. How many times have they played King of the Court in Boston, right?
And the little fadeaway.
Boom. Good. Yeah. Brown.
him.
Okay, here we
go. Gotta go back.
You gotta go right back. Here we go. Oh, and then he gave him a too small. He gave him a too small. That's nice, but you got to be able to finish it, though, right? And then come back for some more. Going again. Come back for some more. Remember, it was Tatum who broke Brown's face, that facial fracture. Friendly fire. Brown for three. Oh! Look at him.
Too small.
Too little. Too little. One.
And I know, Reg, you said that you got to defend the three, but making threes help. Tatum is out of control tonight.
Embiid not having it. Going to put Tatum at the line. Can they get another stop? Can they get another stop?
And Giannis is out of his seat. He's worried about his GM status.
Get too close for comfort. I think they're in good shape. Tatum, is he going to do the honors? He's going to drive. 55, double nickel for Jason Tatum.
I don't think there's much suspense. An all-time record, most points scored ever. The Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP trophy the Kobe Bryant trophy for the Kia MVP, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, we just came up. See your first three go in, keep shooting. Stay hot and just kept running. Yeah, just try to be competitive a little bit, you know, try and stay safe, but just have some fun with it and, you know, show JB he can't score on me. It means the world. You know, you think of all the legends and great players that's played in this game, and in all honesty, records are meant to be broken. So I'll hold it for as long as I can, but I'm certain somebody will come along in a couple years and try to break it.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, also Turner Sports and TNT, and you heard Jason Tatum. Of course, Commissioner Adam Silver was presenting him with the Kobe Bryant Star Game MVP Award. What a performance from Mr. Tatum. 55 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. All right, Nick, your thoughts on Jason and his performance in the All-Star Game.
Jason Tatum was lights out in the All-Star Game. And, I mean, the 55-point scoring record is one thing. He also put up 27 points in the third quarter, you know, he made 22 of his 31 shots, 10 of 18 from three-point range, and he's got the second-to-last bucket of the game on a drive to the rim, you know, after already setting the scoring record with 53, you know, on a previous possession. I mean, he was absolutely lights out, and, you know, he played the most minutes of anyone in this All-Star game for a reason. He was electric. He was leading Team Giannis alongside Donovan Mitchell and Damian Lillard to, you know, a pretty sizable lead heading into that elim-ending fourth quarter, and then, you know, ended up taking home on a Damian Lillard three-pointer. But, again, Jason Tatum was absolutely on fire in this game. And, you know, as he said, you know, he set the record, but he broke the record. It was only set pretty recently by Anthony Davis, and, you know, he'll certainly get another chance at it next year, barring injury. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the scoring record in the All-Star game has been broken multiple times in the last decade after Wilt Chamberlain's 42 points in, I think it was the 1962 All-Star game, if I'm remembering correctly. But, you know, Wilt Chamberlain set that record in the 60s, and it stood for a long time until the last decade or so. So it'll be interesting to see how long Jason Tatum's record stands. But credit to him, he had a spectacular performance on the All-Star game.
Rightfully so. I mean, Jason Tatum was definitely the star of this year's NBA All-Star Game. Pretty awesome highlights from this All-Star Game. Were there any other stars, Nick, that caught your eye besides Jason in this year's All-Star Game?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, Donovan Mitchell put up 40 in this game, dished out 10 assists. You know, he was a huge part as well of Team Giannis' victory. Damian Lillard, just as he capped off the three-point shooting contest with a victory. He capped off Team Giannis' game with a victory by hitting a deep three-pointer to win the game. And then in terms of the players on the Team LeBron side, I mean, you know, one of the other biggest stars in this game was Jason Tatum's teammate, Jaylen Brown, who put up 35 points and 14 rebounds in this one. You know, he was a big factor, especially in the second half, in terms of keeping Team LeBron in it. I mean, he and Jason Tatum, you know, essentially squared off against each other on a few possessions, and that was some of the most fun parts of the All-Star game night, you know, watching those two teammates go back and forth. And then Joel Embiid, also, you know, really strong performance, put up 32, you know, second leading scorer on Team LeBron. He had a very solid night as well. Unfortunately, the Sacramento Kings All-Stars did not perform at their best in this particular game. De'Aaron Fox missed his only shot attempt. Domantas Sabonis put up, you know, 6 points and turned the ball over twice against only one assist, which is not something that we've seen often, thankfully, for the Sacramento Kings this season. So, yeah, I mean, Jaylen Brown and Joel Embiid were the standouts for Team LeBron. And then on Team Giannis, again, Jason Tatum was the star of the night, but Donovan Mitchell also had a spectacular 40-point performance, and Damian Lillard with 26 points, including the closing three.
You know, another thing that caught my eye in this year's All-Star game, Nick, was LeBron James. Of course, this was a sentimental one this year because on the heels of LeBron becoming the NBA's all-time scoring leader, and also it was a nice, I don't know if you had the opportunity to catch it, but on TNT's broadcast, at the opening of the All-Star game, Jay-Z did a nice tribute, so to speak, or if you will, a nice talk about LeBron and his career and how he still continued to be consistent even in this age and stage in his career. And certainly he had a nice All-Star game before having to leave the game due to hurting his finger. Any thoughts on LBJ and his All-Star performance this year?
Yeah, he was very solid in that first half until, as you mentioned, he had to leave with that finger injury. You know, it was unfortunate. I mean, Giannis missed the skills challenge due to his hand injury and then only played 20 seconds in this game, basically just took the opening possession for a dunk and then subbed himself out and didn't play the rest of the night. So, you know, it was unfortunate to see the two team captains miss so much of the All-Star game with injuries. You know, that's never something that you want to see on All-Star Sunday night. But, you know, we talked about it on Friday as well. Just it has been such a joy to be able to witness LeBron James's career. And, you know, the tribute that he got before the game was obviously nice. Certainly, I'm sure he was pleased to receive that tribute from Jay-Z. You know, who wouldn't be pleased to receive a tribute from Jay-Z, honestly. But, you know, with LeBron, it wasn't, you know, his best All-Star game just in terms of his performance, but it was, you know, great to see him out there for as long as he got to play. And, you know, it was nice to see him do pretty well in his 14 minutes that he got to play out there. And, you know, obviously you don't want to risk any further injury, you know, in the All-Star game. So it was unfortunate to see him have to sub out, especially since Giannis subbed out within the first 20 seconds of the game. But, you know, again, it was nice for LeBron to get that opportunity to be honored again because, you know, breaking the all-time NBA scoring record is something that should not be taken lightly by any means. So it was nice to see LeBron get credit for that once again on All-Star Night.
Let's stay with the All-Star game for a moment. Nick, there have been some criticisms of this year's All-Star game. Well, really, there's been a lot of criticism of the All-Star game in recent years in terms of the high amount of scoring that's taken place in these games, also with a lack of defense. I know it's an All-Star game, and these in the NBA, they can't get too physical because they have to get ready for the second half of the year. But the criticism that's been recent is that the games are very high scoring. It's not enough defense, and that's what's kind of been what's currently going on right now with the All-Star game. Give me your thoughts. Is it too much scoring, or do you think it's fine, all things considered, for an All-Star game?
I'm sort of in the middle, which, you know, maybe is not the best answer to give, but my thought on it is, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense for the first three quarters to, you know, have it be a bit more of an offensive show, you know, not have guys put on their best effort on the defensive end. But, you know, something that had changed with the Elam ending in recent years is that the fourth quarters had been, you know, really competitive up until basically this year when, you know, Team Giannis had a pretty sizable advantage heading into that fourth quarter, got, you know, pretty close to the target score, and then just started heaving up 40-foot three-pointers to, you know, try and win on a spectacular highlight shot by, you know, just heaving it up from 40 feet, 50 feet. I mean, Damian Lillard took a shot from beyond half court that he hit and then took another one on the next possession that did not quite go as well. I mean, I think that, you know, it's going to be very difficult for the NBA to get players to, you know, push themselves to the absolute limit defensively in the All-Star game for the first three quarters. But, you know, we had seen really competitive All-Star games in the last few years because of the Elam ending, and I think the reason that this year stands out in particular is because it basically just ended up being Team Giannis heaving ridiculous three-pointers until one went in. So, you know, I had high hopes for the Elam ending fixing this problem, at least for the fourth quarter, and, you know, after this year's All-Star game, it seems like maybe that wasn't quite enough. So, again, I get the sort of lack of defensive effort in the first three quarters, but, I mean, when we think about great All-Star games past, you know, teams would always lock it down in the fourth quarter, and it would be, you know, really close to max effort for these All-Star guys to sort of close out the All-Star game, and that is not really something that we saw on Sunday night's game. And that was something that I hope had been fixed by the Elam ending, so maybe the NBA has to tool with it a little bit more to sort of figure out the right solution.
All right, and I think personally, I mean, it's an All-Star game. I mean, it's the best of the best in the NBA, and I think they should just, I mean, I don't think anything is wrong with it, but like you said before, maybe in the final quarter, they can tighten up the defense a little bit. But, I mean, we've seen pretty competitive All-Star games over the years, but there's been some defense, but, I mean, what can you expect? But, nevertheless, it's the best of the best in the NBA. And speaking of being best of the best, one of the best NBA cities, for the most part, this year's NBA All-Star game. What were your thoughts on Salt Lake City hosting this year's game?
It's interesting. I mean, you know, they're hosting it on the 30th anniversary of the first All-Star game played in Salt Lake City. You know, it's definitely a basketball city. I mean, the Jazz have been playoff mainstays for, you know, much of the 30 years since they previously hosted the All-Star game, but it's definitely not a city that, you know, you would think of first for hosting an All-Star game, mostly just because, you know, it's the middle of February and it's not always all that warm in Salt Lake City, but certainly the weather seemed to cooperate for the most part in this All-Star weekend. And, you know, it ended up being a really fun weekend overall, especially with the electric three-point contest and Mac McClung and Trey Murphy, you know, really carrying the torch forward for the slam dunk contest. So, you know, it certainly is an interesting choice in terms of, you know, purely just the weather of it, but Salt Lake City has been a basketball mainstay for the last few decades with the Jazz being as successful as they've been. So, you know, it makes a ton of sense from the basketball history standpoint to have the All-Star game in Utah, especially given that it's the 30th anniversary of the first All-Star game played in Salt Lake City.
I want to stay just with Salt Lake City. We know, Nick, that Twitter, for better or for worse, is a platform where people express themselves. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's, let's just say it's not always good, but Shaquille O'Neal recently went on his Twitter page and said that he had never eaten so much room service in his life. And I guess what he was referring to was the weekend that was in Salt Lake City. I guess that was due to the lack of things to do, in his opinion, in Salt Lake City. And then Charles Barkley made another comment, which I will not repeat for our people that are very spiritually inclined, but give me your thoughts on Shaq and Chuck's comments on Twitter in regards to the nightlife in Salt Lake City.
It was an interesting choice by them. I mean, I have never been to Salt Lake City myself, so I can't particularly speak to the nightlife or lack thereof there. But yeah, I mean, Charles Barkley has never exactly been someone to keep his opinions to himself, so, you know, that's not particularly surprising on that front. And Shaquille O'Neal isn't exactly someone who has frequently kept his opinions to himself either, so, you know, not surprising to see those two guys be the sort of voice of nothing much to do in Salt Lake City. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting choice for them to make those comments during the All-Star weekend while they're in Salt Lake City, but, you know, they're allowed to. They're obviously allowed to express their opinion, and, you know, Shaq and Chuck are two of the forefronts of NBA media coverage, so not to disparage them in any way, but I feel like being in Salt Lake City for the All-Star game, maybe that's not the time to make those comments. You know, maybe they would feel a little different if they'd held on to those comments for a couple more days until they were, you know, actually not in Salt Lake City anymore. But, you know, I've never been to Salt Lake City. I can't particularly speak to the nightlife or not, but, you know, if Shaq's ordering in a lot of room service, then I guess Shaq's ordering in a lot of room service. You know, that's up to him and his choice. But certainly in terms of the basketball that we saw in Salt Lake City, it was one of the more fun All-Star weekends in recent memory.
Yeah, indeed it was. And, again, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And God bless Shaq and Chuck for voicing their opinions, like you said before. And let's move ahead now, because now we've talked about this year's host, which was Salt Lake City. The baton will be tossed, well, the baton, I should say, will be handed over to Indianapolis in 2024. And we know that Indianapolis is a basketball city. It's a sports city, but it's a basketball city first. The state of Indiana, the Hoosier state, is a state that is in fever pitch. It is basketball frenzy. And we know that the Pacers are there. The people in Indianapolis, the people in Indiana love their basketball as well as the NBA. Any thoughts that you have for next year's All-Star game being in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just, as you mentioned, I think you hit the nail on the head. Indiana is a huge basketball state. Indianapolis is a town that is definitely going to be very excited to have All-Star Weekend in the fold. And, you know, Indianapolis is a town that's hosted, you know, NFL All-Star games. You know, there's a lot of, you know, big NASCAR events, obviously, in Indianapolis. It's a town that, you know, not only is super basketball-focused, you know, super in love with basketball, but it's also a town that has a ton of experience with these kinds of big events, you know, All-Star game type deals. So I think that Indianapolis as a city will be very well prepared for All-Star game and the All-Star weekend. And I think Indiana as a state as a whole will be incredibly excited to have the All-Star game in Indianapolis. Again, it's a huge basketball state, and there will be a lot of Indiana fans very happy to see the All-Star game in Indianapolis.
Hopefully so. And of course, you know, you mentioned about Indianapolis hosting Super Bowls at Lucas Oil Stadium, which is the home to the Indianapolis Colts, and certainly they've made some adjustments to that arena in Indiana where the Pacers play at, and of course they've revitalized some parts of downtown Indianapolis, so that all helps as well. So we look forward to this year, the 2024 NBA All-Star game being played in Indianapolis. Nick, I don't know if you've heard about 2025. They're saying that Los Angeles has put the bid in for the 2025 NBA All-Star Game. Do you think it's right that L.A. would win the bid, or do you possibly see San Francisco maybe getting the bid in 2025, that they've built that new arena in downtown San Francisco with the Chase Center? Or would you like to see other cities that would get in the fold for 2025?
Interesting. Honestly, I mean, I think that Los Angeles and San Francisco Bay Area are two destinations that make a ton of sense for the All-Star game, you know, not just for weather concerns, as I've mentioned previously, but also, I mean, you know, Los Angeles is, you know, one of the biggest cities in the country, one of the biggest cities in the world. Of course, you know, also a basketball hotbed with the Lakers and the Clippers there. So, you know, that's definitely a place would be a ton of fun to have an All-Star game. Also, you know, having a game in the Bay Area, you know, that would be nice for me. You know, it's a short drive down from Sacramento to the Bay Area, short-ish. So, you know, that'd definitely be an All-Star game pretty close to being in my backyard. But I think it's fun when the NBA, you know, holds All-Star games in locations that maybe haven't had one before. I mean, certainly if we're talking about arena revitalization, you know, I'm going to be biased on this front, obviously, but Sacramento Kings also recently renovated their arena, and the downtown Commons area around Golden One Center is definitely a place that could have a ton of fun events for All-Star Weekend. So, you know, with L.A. and the Bay Area, you know, those are locations where the All-Star Game has been before. I think it might be nice to, you know, spread the All-Star Game out a little bit. Certainly it was nice for the Salt Lake City fans to have the game back in Utah after a three-year hiatus. And, you know, also I'm sure the state of Indiana and Indianapolis will be really, really looking forward to having the All-Star Game there next year. So, you know, it's hard to go wrong with either L.A. or the Bay Area for an All-Star game host in 2025, but I think it might be nice to see the game spread out to other places where it hasn't been as often. And, of course, you know, my personal bias, I would be very, very happy if the All-Star game somehow ends up in Golden One Center.
All right, rightfully so, and that takes care of the NBA All-Star weekend, which was a solid one in Salt Lake City. And you heard it from him. He is Nick Agar-Johnson. He is the editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and also the podcast host for No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives, and also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, as always, thank you so much, my man, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. What's currently going on over at No Ceilings NBA as well as Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic?
Ed, as always, thank you so much for having me on the program. It's always a ton of fun. Really happy to talk this with you. in terms of what's going on my end, NoCeilingsNBA.com, definitely check it out if you have not already, and subscribe if you have not already. We also just did a deep dive episode that came out this morning that I did with my colleague Nathan Gribble over at NoCeilingsNBA talking about the rookie rank. We went Nathan's article, volume 3 of his rookie rank, talking about, you know, top 10 rookies in this class, Nathan's honorable mentions, and then a few under the radar guys who have really stood out. So that podcast was a ton of fun to do. Please check that out as well if you haven't. And then, yeah, in terms of, you know, where to find me and where I work on social media and all that, hashtag basketball at #basketball on Twitter and #basketball.com. If you have any fantasy basketball needs, that is the place to go. And then Nets Republic, NetsRepublic.com, and at Nets Republic on Twitter.
Awesome. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as No Ceilings NBA, hashtag basketball, Nets Republic, and any website you want to promote. Let them, let the listeners know that as well.
Absolutely. So Nets Republic again, NetsRepublic.com, and at Nets Republic on socials, hashtag basketball, hashtag basketball.com, and at #basketball on socials. And then No Ceilings NBA, NoCeilingsNBA.com, and at NoCeilingsNBA on socials. You can find me on Twitter at NBA Johnson, and all of my written work is on those three websites, but, you know, primarily over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. So if you're a fan of the NBA draft, or if your NBA team is struggling a bit this season, then you really should go over and check us out on NoCeilingsNBA.com. We have all of your NBA draft coverage needs. So if you're a team that, you know, is looking for a piece to fill out the rotation later on in the draft, or a team that's struggling and might be looking at getting one of the top picks in this year's draft, then you can find everything you need over on NoCeilingsNBA.com.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He's Nick Agar Johnson, editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. He's also the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and he's a writer for hashtag basketball and Nets Republic. As always, Nick, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely, Ed. Thank you so much for having me back on. Always a blast to come on the program and talk with you.
Awesome, awesome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Tatum dunks it down. Jason Tatum, he's a guy to watch. You start thinking about MVP candidates.
Off the glass.
Bam Adebayo. Look it up front for Embiid. Mitchell is still defense. Mark that down, Candace. First defensive moment of the day. Tatum will do the same.
Was that a message? Was that a message, Reggie?
Anything you can do, the King, I can do better.
Oh, don't toy with him, Tatum.
That's what he's doing.
Don't toy with him, Tatum.
Exactly what he's doing. It's the shoes.
31 for Tatum.
Debuting his signature shoes.
Finding Tatum. All eyes on him.
Jason Tatum is having some kind of all-star third quarter here.
Listen, he thought about it. He was like, nah.
Tatum, wow. Oh, a shooting clinic out here.
This will have court.
Tatum on a get from Mitchell, lays it in.
Seeing Jaws grill.
Whoa,
so,
Diamond grill. Show,
you know,
grill.
Reggie tried to get fitted for it.
I did. I tried.
Couldn't get ready in time.
Tatum, a rare miss. And an offensive rebound sets up TV Honest once again. So we're pushing this lead to 12 here.
I think he might get 50. Oh, we got the matchup.
Oh, here's your matchup. Here's your matchup. The two Celtics. How many times have they played King of the Court in Boston, right?
And a little fadeaway.
Boom.
Good for Jalen Brown.
Okay.
You got to go back.
You got to go right back. Here we go. Oh, and then he gave him a too small. He gave him a too small. Oh, he lost the handle. That's right. That's nice, but you got to be able to finish it, though, right? And then come back with some more. Going again. Come back with some more.
Remember, it was Tatum who broke Brown's face, that facial fracture. Friendly fire. Brown. For three.
Oh, look at him. Yeah,
too small.
Too little. Too little. One on one. There you go,
okay.
Reggie said that you got to defend the three, but making threes help. Tatum is out of control tonight.
Embiid not having it. Going to put Tatum at the line. Can they get another stop? Can they get another stop?
And Giannis is out of his seat. He's worried about his GM status.
Get too close for comfort. I think they're in good shape. Tatum, is he going to do the honors? He's going to drive. 55, double nickel for Jason Tatum.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more. As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more. As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick for coming on the program for recapping what was the 2023 NBA All-Star Weekend. Okay, before we get on out of here, let's give you the upcoming games that will be in the association for the week. Starting off on Saturday, February the 25th, the Indiana Pacers will square off against the Orlando Magic. The Miami Heat square off against the Charlotte Hornets. The New Orleans Pelicans travel to the Big Apple to take on the New York Knicks. A big game on what could be, it may possibly be, maybe this year's Western Conference Finals. A great game between Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, and the Denver Nuggets going up against Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks, and the rest of the crew, the Memphis Grizzlies. Denver versus Memphis, never a dull moment. Also, what could be maybe a preview of this year's Eastern Conference Finals, the longstanding rivalry between the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. And then we have the San Antonio Spurs going up against the Utah Jazz. Then on Sunday, February the 26th, we have a good one between the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks, followed by the Brooklyn Nets going up against the Atlanta Hawks, the Washington Wizards square off against the Chicago Bulls. Good game between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks, followed by the Toronto Raptors going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Sacramento Kings square off against the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves square off against the Golden State Warriors, the Houston Rockets go up against the Portland Trail Blazers, and going to be what should be a fantastic game in the Rocky Mountain City, in the Mile High City, that is, in Denver, Colorado, between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Denver Nuggets. Monday, February the 27th, we have the Detroit Pistons going up against the Charlotte Hornets, followed by the Miami Heat versus the Philadelphia 76ers. We have the longstanding rivalry between the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks, and then we have the Orlando Magic going up against the New Orleans Pelicans. On Tuesday, February the 28th, the Chicago Bulls square off against the Toronto Raptors. We have the Milwaukee Bucks going up against the Brooklyn Nets. And then we have the Washington Wizards going up against the Atlanta Hawks. Also, in other games, we have the Los Angeles Lakers squaring off against the Memphis Grizzlies. The Sacramento Kings square off against the Oklahoma City Thunder. How about the Denver Nuggets going up against the Houston Rockets? The Indiana Pacers square off against the Dallas Mavericks. The San Antonio Spurs square off against the Utah Jazz. The Minnesota Timberwolves square off against the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Portland Trail Blazers go up against the Golden State Warriors. Wednesday, March 1st, we have the Phoenix Suns squaring off against the Charlotte Hornets. And what's significant about this game on Wednesday, March the 1st, with the Phoenix Suns going up against the Charlotte Hornets, is that Kevin Durant is expected to make his Phoenix Suns debut. That should be an interesting atmosphere in Charlotte, followed by the Chicago Bulls square off against the Detroit Pistons. We've got the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Miami Heat. We've got the Brooklyn Nets going up against the New York Knicks in the Battle of New York, followed by the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Boston Celtics, the Orlando Magic versus the Milwaukee Bucks, the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Memphis Grizzlies square off against the Houston Rockets, and we have the New Orleans Blazers. Thursday, March the 2nd, we have the Toronto Raptors going up against the Washington Wizards, the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Dallas Mavericks. The Indiana Pacers will square off against the San Antonio Spurs, and then we have the Los Angeles Clippers going up against the defending champion Golden State Warriors. And on Friday, March the 3rd, we have the Orlando Magic squaring off against the Charlotte Hornets, the Portland Trail Blazers versus the Atlanta Hawks, the Brooklyn Nets square off against the Boston Celtics, the New York Knicks square off against the Miami Heat. Man, I remember that rivalry like it was yesterday. No more Patrick Ewing, no more Charles Oakley, no more Allen Houston, no more Alonzo Mourning or Tim Hardaway, but this is a new crew, a new cast of characters in the Knicks-Heat rivalry, followed by the Phoenix Suns going up against the Chicago Bulls, the Utah Jazz going up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The New Orleans Pelicans will travel to the Bay Area to take on the Golden State Warriors. Then we've got an interesting game in the Mile High City. Again, it could be a preview of this year's Western Conference Final. The Memphis Grizzlies going up against the Denver Nuggets, followed by the Los Angeles Clippers going up against the Sacramento Kings. Could we see a sequel to what happened past weekend? Who knows? Anything can happen, and certainly anything can happen, not just in life, but certainly in the world of professional sports. And then finally, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves going up against the Los Angeles Lakers. So those are your games and your upcoming games on the schedule in the association. All right, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of At the Rim. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. We recap the 2023 NBA All-Star Weekend. So again, congrats. Big special thank you to Nick for appearing on the program. And until next time, everybody, I'm Matt Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to At the Rim.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's BASY to 203203.